Blog Talk Radio.
God, everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To God be the glory. At this time, I'd like to say a short prayer. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision, and I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to invite the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. To God be the glory.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come your glory, God is worthy.
Amen. Praise be to God. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Elohim, my chase, Lanu, which means God, our refuge. In Psalm 62:8, and the NIV says, trust in him at all times. You people, pour out your hearts to him. For God, Elohim, is our refuge. God of our refuge, you are our refuge. We praise you because you are trustworthy. We praise you for keeping our hearts safe with you. We adore you because you provide a place where we can go when the storms of life toss us here and there. Some people brag about the things they own, and they look to their own hands for their protection. Other people boast in their abilities or their wit to keep them safe. Yet we boast in your name, Elohim, God of our refuge, because in you we will rise and stand upright despite what life sends us. You are our refuge. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. Praise be to God.
You might be in a place in your life where all you see is the color gray, and the future looks dark and dreary. It's just like a dark cloud came over the earth and covered the land with fog. But there's one thing I want you to know. The Bible says in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And it was good. Let me tell you about it.
There were many times in my life when I felt like I was all by myself, and I needed an answer from the Lord. There were many times when I had nobody to turn to, but the Lord. So I decided to give him a try. I had to call on him.
Call on him.
Pleaded with the Lord to heal.
Call on him.
Down on my knees, I called on him. Hey.
Call on
all
him.
All of a sudden, I heard a voice singing deep down inside.
Don't
trials and tribulations, and your heavy laden burden. Jesus said, cast your cares upon me, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You might feel like you're being tried, just trying to stand the test of time. But let me tell you one thing, the God I serve is able to do all things exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask and think, according to the power of his riches and glory that work in us. All you have to do is make Jesus Lord of your life. Come on, let's pray about it. All you gotta do is call on him.
Call on him.
Sometimes you gotta call on him. Hey!
Call on him.
Pleading, Lord, we'll hear your cry.
Call on him.
You gotta call on him. Wake deep down inside. He's saying,
God of refuge, we don't always run to you when we should, particularly when we feel vulnerable. We turn instead to things we can see to help us, or we turn to things that will distract us rather than going where we know we are safe. And that is to you. You are our strong tower, our refuge. Forgive us for not always acknowledging or taking advantage of all that you are and all that you want to be in our life. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.
I'll die in you, but as long as you're here, I'm not afraid. I bless your name, I worship you, Lord, I come before your throne with thanks and praise. David said, I have set the Lord always before me. I bless your name, Lord, I worship you. Forever I am yours, Lord. Hallelujah. I bless your name. Lord, I worship you. Oh, I can. And to die again, for I will look unto the altar and the finisher of my faith. Come on, let's take it higher.
I'll live for you.
I'll live for you.
I'll die in you.
For I have said the Lord always before me. Because you are on my right hand, I shall not be moved. I bless your name.
Devotional message, amen, which is entitled Don't Debate the Debater. Amen. Now say that again. Don't debate the debater. Praise God. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. And it says, "Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world?" Amen. Yesterday, we discussed the fact that the Lord has dominion over the forces of evil and will always be victorious. To take hold of this, we must understand that the way the enemy undermines us is that he will debate with us about whether what God has said is true. He does so to tempt us to doubt the Lord. And we'll find that in Genesis chapter 3. Amen. So let's read Genesis chapter 3. Verses 1 through 3. Amen. And it says, "The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals, and the Lord God had made. Okay, let's start over. "The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden?" "Of course we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden," the woman replied. "It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said, you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die." Amen. So at this point, it's important that we do not underestimate the enemy's effectiveness as a debater. Satan has argued with the greatest minds throughout history since the world began and has often won. His goal is to get us to overthink a matter until we utterly obsess and confounded by it. We cannot sleep. We cannot get away from it. It's in every thought, every conversation. It is then he can confuse us to the point we no longer trust the Father. Don't fall for his trap. Stop trying to figure everything out, because all you're really doing is debating the enemy. And he's much better at it than you are. Instead, resist him by quoting God's word and expressing your trust that the Lord always leads you to victory. In Proverbs, so let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. Amen. Job. Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3. Praise God. And verses 5 and 6. And it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Praise be to God. So you see, to receive God's guidance, said Solomon, we must seek God's will in all we do. This meaning turns every area of life over to him. About 1,000 years later, Jesus emphasizes this same truth in Matthew 6 and 33. Examine your values and priorities. What is important to you? In what areas have you not acknowledged him? You may already acknowledge God in many areas of your life, but the areas where you attempt to restrict or ignore him will cause you grief. Make him a vital part of everything you do. Then he will guide you, because you will be working to accomplish his purposes. Amen. Praise God. Let us pray. Jesus, we will not lean on our understanding, but trust you completely, knowing you always lead us to triumph. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. I pray that this devotional message was a blessing unto you as it is to me. Amen. Praise God. So again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a mighty word from God. Amen. And you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. To God be the glory.
Father, we ask you now, as we lift your name, that you'll dwell among us and be our God, and we are your people. Let's bring it like this together.
No matter what,
come on, the problem
may be,
He's in control,
and he knows everything.
I have the victory,
I have the victory, for he is my king.
In him I live, I move,
and have my being.
Say it again. No matter what,
the problem may be,
He's in control,
and he knows everything.
How many know that you got the victory?
I have the victory, for he is my king.
In him I live, I move,
He's in control, and he knows everything.
I have the victory,
for he is my king.
In him I live,
move, and have my being.
Say again. No matter what,
the problem may be.
Come on, clap your hands like this, sing it with us.
He's in control, and he knows everything.
I have the victory,
for he is my king.
desire, but as a token of my love, this is what I'll do. I'll lift my hands and cry,
Holy,
Lord,
Your holy,
Lord, Your holy.
Praise be Your holy name. God, our refuge, thank You for Your power. Thank You for Your strength. Thank You for being a refuge to us and to those who seek You. Thank You for caring about each one of us, Your children, with such tenderness. Thank You for shielding us as we face life's troubles and for going through them with us. As Jesus stood on the hill overlooking the city, tears came to His eyes because His people had not turned to Him as their king and their refuge. We thank you for such vulnerability. You are a great and mighty God. Yet you care so gently for your people. Truly, you are our God of refuge. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God, praise God. Yes, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Study his word. In 1 Timothy 4 and 6, and the CSB says, you will be a good servant of Jesus Christ, of Christ Jesus, nourished by the words of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. God's word is unlike any other book. The Bible is a roadmap for life here on earth and for life eternal. As Christians, we are called upon to study God's holy word, to trust its promises, to follow its commandments, and to share its good news with the world. As women who seek to follow in the footsteps of the one from Galilee, we must study the Bible and meditate upon its meaning for our lives. Otherwise, we deprive ourselves of a priceless gift from our Creator. God's holy word is indeed a transforming, life-changing, one-of-a-kind treasure and a passing acquaintance with the good book is insufficient for Christians who seek to obey God's word and to understand his will. The Bible is God's word. Excuse me, the Bible is God's word to man. Weave the unveiling fabric of God's word through your heart and mind. It will hold strong even if the rest of your life unravels. I need the spiritual revival that comes from spending quiet time alone with Jesus in prayer and in thought for meditation on his word. God can see clearly no matter how dark or foggy the night is. Trust his word to guide you safely home. The Bible became a living book and a guide for our life. Amen. Here's a thought. On your bookshelf, if you have God's roadmap for life here on earth and for life eternal, how you choose to use your Bible is, of course, up to you. And so are the consequences. Amen. In 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17, in the CSB tells us all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Amen. Praise God. Romans 1 and 16 in the CSB Bible tells us, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is God's power for salvation to everyone who believes. Hallelujah. Matthew 4:4 in the New King James Version says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. And Matthew 24:35 in the CSB said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Amen. To God be the glory for the reading of his mighty word. Amen. Dear Lord, the Bible is your gift to us. Let us use it. When we stray from your holy word, Lord, we suffer. But when we place your word at the very center of our life, we are blessed. Make us a faithful student of your word so that we might be a faithful servant in your world this day and every day. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. So again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer. And as we are coming down to a closing of our Sweet Hour of Prayer, I will play another selection because Jesus saves by the wicked tones.
Yeah.
Jesus save. Praise be to God. Amen. To God be the glory. Thank you, Lord God. God, our refuge. We pray that you will stand guard in our life and guide us away from trials and tribulation that put us in perilous situation. But you have warned us that in this life we will face trials and tribulations. So we know we will sometimes be in great need. We ask, God of our refuge, that you will do something in those times to get our attention, to remind us to look to you. Keep us from faltering on our own, from trying to comfort and protect ourselves, and from looking to someone other than you to be our refuge. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. And as I get ready to bring this message to you this evening, I will play another selection, and which is entitled, My God is Able.
And is able.
Yes.
The Bible says he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Our God is able. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
He's able. Hallelujah. Come to let you know that my God is able, able to set you free. Yes, my God is able, yeah. Oh, I come to let you know, oh, that my God is able. Yes, he is able to heal you now. Yes, yes, my God is able. I think you don't know. I said, I come to let you know that the God I love, he is able. Yes, he is, yes, he is able to set you free, set you free, set you free, set you free. My God is able. Yes, I know he's able to heal you now, to heal you now, yeah. Oh, my God is able. Sing unto them, heaven. I came to let you know that my God is able, yeah. Set you free. Yes, my God is able. I came to let you know tonight, it's part of what you're going through, that my God is able, able to set you free. Oh, yes, my God. Able Whatever you're going through tonight, just remember, my God is able.
That my God is able, able to set you free. Yes, my God is able. Rest my head, but God is bigger. Hey, so I come to let you know tonight, there's nothing impossible for God. He's able.
Your neighbor telling me, say, able. Come on, say, it's able. It's
able.
Say, able. Say,
able.
Say,
able.
Able, you see. Oh,
able.
No matter what you're bound with, drugs, sex, whatever it might be, God has the power to break you loose. And is able to come into your marriage and set you free. Is able to come into your life and deliver you. Whatever the problem might be, my God is able. Oh, why don't you just give him a try? Reach out to the Lord. Call on his name. Cause he's able. Cause he's able. My God is able to release you, able to set you free, able to heal you, yeah, able to deliver you, able to rescue you, able to hold you up, able to bring you out of whatever storm you might be going through. He is is able to provide, yeah. He's able to make way out of no way. He's God that makes something out of nothing. Hallelujah, he's the creator of the heaven and the earth. My God is able, yes he is, yes he is. Oh, I know, I can't let you know that my God is able. Oh, come on, somebody worship the Lord. Somebody bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is worthy. Oh, somebody give him praise. Somebody give him glory. Give him worship. We worship you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, there is none like you, Lord. Oh, come on, praise him because he's able. I said praise him because he's able. Praise him because he's able. Yes, he is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, we worship you. You able, Lord. You able, Lord.
Amen. Praise be to God. Now, if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 28, and we are going to read verses 1 through 19. Amen? Again, that's Ezekiel, chapter 28, verses 1 through 19, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Amen. Praise God. This chapter is a message for Tyrese King. Then this message came to me from the Lord. Son of man, give the prince of Tyre this message from the sovereign Lord. In your great pride, you claim, I am a God. I sit on a divine throne in the heart of the sea. But you are only a man and not a God. Though you boast that you are a God, you regard yourself as wiser than Daniel and think no secret is hidden from you. With your wisdom and understanding, you have amassed great wealth, gold and silver for your treasuries. Yes, your wisdom has made you very rich, and your riches have made you very proud. Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord said. Because you think you are as wise as a god, I will now bring against you a foreign army, the terror of the nation. They will draw their swords against your marvelous wisdom and defile your splendor. They will bring you down to the pit, and you will die in the heart of the sea, pierced with many wounds. Will you then boast, I am a God, to those who kill you? To them, you will be no God, but merely a man. You will die like an outcast at the hands of foreigners. I, the sovereign Lord, have spoken. Then this further message came to me from the Lord. Son of man, sing this funeral song for the king of Tyre. Give him this message from the sovereign Lord. You were the model of perfection, full of wisdom and exquisite in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Your clothes were adorned with every precious stone, red carnelian, pale green paradox, white moonstone, blue-green beryl, oxen, green jasper, blue lapis lazuli, turquoise, and emerald, all beautifully crafted for you and set in the finest gold. They were given to you on the day you were created. I ordained and anointed you as the mighty angelic guardian. You had access to the holy mountain of God and walked among the stones of fire. You were blameless in all you did from the day you were created until the day evil was found in you. Your rich comments led you to violence and you sinned. So I banish you in disgrace from the mountain of God. I expelled you, O mighty guardian, from your place among the stones of fire. Your heart was filled with pride because of all your beauty. Your wisdom was corrupted by your love of splendor. So I threw you to the ground and exposed you to the curious gaze of kings. You defiled your sanctuaries with your many sins and your dishonest trade. So I brought fire out from within you, and it consumed you. I reduced you to ashes on the ground in the sight of all who were watching. All who knew you are appalled at your fate. You have come to a terrible end, and you will exist no more. To God be the glory to the reading, hearing, and always the doing of his mighty word. Amen. So you see in these verses, some of the phrases in this passage is describing the human king of Tyre may describe Satan. Great care must be taken to interpret these verses with discernment. It is clear that at times Ezekiel described this king in terms that could not apply to a mere human. This king had been in the Garden of Eden in Ezekiel 28 and 13, had been ordained and anointed as the mighty angelic guardian, 28 and 14, and had access to the holy mountain of God, 28:14, but was banished from there, 28:16 and 17. Ezekiel, therefore, may have been condemning not only the king of Tyre, but Satan, who had motivated the king to sin. Praise God, praise God. My Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So, before the Israelites were carried away captive into Babylon, they pride themselves on being the most religious people on earth. They had the most magnificent temple the world had ever seen in which to worship God. They had a holy city that was known the world over as the city where the God of the Israelites, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob lived. They had their holy days, their specified times for prayers, and the offering of sacrifices, but gradually inevitable. All of this worship had become mere ritual and formality. God was in the temple, and what they did between their state times of worship, how they reacted toward their fellow humans in their business dealings and in their personal relationships was beside the point. But now they are away from their precious temple and their holy cities, and they cannot do anything about it because of their wrong and restrictive concept of worshiping God. They have come to think that they really cannot worship him anymore, and that it is all his fault. So therefore, in this highly symbolic and imaginative passage, Ezekiel is showing them that worshiping God is a total experience. And here, he focused on, of all things, the business world, the world of commerce. He uses the Prince of Tyre as a type of person who is endowed with certain skills and talents that are vital for any successful business person. Whew. Hallelujah, Jesus. Father God, I pray that it be all of you and none of me. As I bring forth your message this day, I thank you for your only begotten Son who died on the cross so that we can receive eternal life. I pray for my pastor and all auxiliaries of this church. I pray for the increase of our congregation. I pray for our families, our friends, and our enemies. I pray you open up the understanding of the minds of those who hear my voice, that they may receive your revelation knowledge, that they may grow more and more in every way like Christ, so that they may receive their purpose in your holy will. I pray for those who are sick and shut in, may be healed. I pray for those that are facing trials and tribulations, receive deliverance. I pray for those that are lost in darkness, receive the light of your salvation. We thank you for supplying our every need. And all these blessings we ask and pray. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. My text for this message is coming from Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 17, where it says, "Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupt thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee." Amen. And the title of my message is The Price of Success. Amen. So first, let's identify the Prince of Tyre. Who is this man whom Ezekiel described so graphically for us? To begin with, Tyre was the capital city of the Philistines. It laid in the shadow of the Lebanon Mountains, at the eastern end of the Mediterranean Sea. The city of Tyre was built on a rocky island about 1/2 mile from the shore. Between the island and the mainland was a deep harbor. But behind Tyree lay the mountains, with their rich supply of shipbuilding timber. And before Tyree lay the world. Yet, the particular genius of Tyree was not so much in sailing and building, but in commerce. In Ezekiel's day, Ithoba II ruled over Tyree, but he is not necessarily the man whom Ezekiel is describing in this 28th chapter. Properly, he is presenting a symbol of the word, the whole Phoenician culture, its script, its strength, and its weakness, to drive home the lesson he is trying to teach his people. Amen. Ezekiel understood, and he wanted desperately for his people to understand that the entire economic system of a people is an important part of spiritual life. The qualities that make for success is business are good. It is the abuse of them that is evil. By the large, the Philistines had been a people of resource, daring, and imagination. They took the natural gifts with which they had been endowed and used them with intelligence. But these Philistines, with all of their natural talents and abilities, did not know the true God. They had no relationship with him, and therefore, those talents they had in the area of business and commerce were destined to go sour. They were amazingly successful, but because they did not recognize from whom their success came and for what it was intended, they were destined, like all of the enemies of God, to go down the drain. Tyree, representing his successful country, is saying he takes inventory and finds that he has been immensely successful. He has made money hand over fist. His bank accounts are overflowing. Everywhere he turns, he is a success. And so he says, move over, God. I have learned your secret now. I have learned how to work this thing called success. And I don't need you or anybody. From now on, I'll pilot this ship. And while I'm doing it, I'll run the lives of all those around me to my advantage. Ezekiel told us that this man did possess great potential. He could have been a very useful servant of God, but he let pride take over And the essence of pride is putting self in the place of God. This sin comes easily to successful people. In fact, it comes easily to all of us, whether or not we are the receivers of material success. Praise be to God. Second, let's define the word success. The word success has been dragged through the mud and mire, through the muck and mire of self-centeredness. In some cases, achieving success has meant trampling on others to reach a pinnacle, only to find it a lonely place. Satan has taken something that God intended to be good in a person's life and made it an evil, destructive thing. Nonetheless, it is God who gives a person the potential to be successful and then expects that person to use that success for God's glory and for the blessings of God's people. There is nothing evil about wanting to be successful in whatever life work God leads one to pursue, even materially successful, as long as one has a clear definition of what the word means from God's perspective. Amen. Now, in the past few decades, God has allowed people to make fantastic strides in knowledge and technical skills. Think, for example, of the vast complex of highways and airlines and railways in our country that join farms and mines and factories to the distributors, which in turn delivered their life-sustaining products to the people. All of this has happened because of the knowledge and discipline and skill of people who have dreamed and planned and built. Humans have broken loose from the firm grip of the Earth's gravity. Have soared through space to walk on the moon's surface and have even developed technology that allows people to live in space for lengthy periods of time. In medical science, unbelievable strides are being made in corrective and life-sustaining surgical techniques because of the uncanny skill God has allowed people to develop. But comes the question, has all of this success been dedicated to the service of God? Or like a preening peacock, has man become proud and haughty, and like Ezekiel's prince of Tyre, corrupted his wisdom for the sake of his splendor? And finally, let's determine God's assessment of success. What is the way to success? A statement in the book of Proverbs simply but clearly points the way for us. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but the Prince of Tyre, like many other successful people in every generation, chose splendor or self-glory as his goal instead of allowing his success to be a means of worshiping God. And the final result for him was spiritual shipwreck. Jesus asked a question one day that ought to burn into the heart of every ambitious person. He said in Mark 8:36, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" This is what Ezekiel was saying in his own way. He was preaching for a verdict. His congregation consisted of alert, intelligent, ambitious people whose homeland lay in ruins. They were trying to carve out a new life for themselves and their children in Babylon. What goals should they seek? In answer, Ezekiel drew for them the picture of this man who sought and reached the wrong goal. Why did God give us ability? Well, he did so that we might serve him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. And how do we do that? It is chiefly by loving, which means respecting our neighbors with the same kind of wisdom that we show in respecting ourselves. Any economic system in the world that puts profit ahead of justice is in danger. God will not have it. Great empires and nations in the world's history had tried it, and for a season have flourished and reveled in their own splendor. But inevitably, their foundation have crumbled. And they have come crashing down in humiliation and defeat. The engineers and architects of those systems fail to remember that the God who gave them the ability to be successful demands equal time. He demands that they worship him, not only in the temples they have built, but also in the marketplace where they work. When we fail to do this, whether we are in Phoenician or in America, we destroy ourselves. And before I bring this message to a close, I just want to say, Ethobal or Ethobal was the prince or king of Tyre, and being lifted up with excessive pride, he claimed divine honors. Pride is particularly the sin of our fallen nature. Nor can any wisdom except that which the Lord gives lead to happiness in this world or in that which is to come. The haughty prince of Tyre thought he was able to protect his people by his own power and considered himself as equal to the inhabitants of heaven. If it were possible to dwell in the Garden of Eden or even to enter heaven, no solid happiness could be enjoyed without a humble, holy, and spiritual mind, especially all spiritual pride is of the devil. Those who indulge themselves therein must expect to perish. Amen. And my conclusion is this. Any true success story, whether it be about the life of an individual, a nation, or an empire, is beautiful. There is a lyrical beauty in the way Ezekiel described the success of the prince of Tyre. But there is a lethal danger when humans reach the point in their climb towards success, when they wave goodbye to God and decide they can make it the rest of the way by themselves. The Spanish people have a beautiful saying they use as a parting word. It is, Vaya con Dios. Go with God. Go with God to his house on the Lord's day and worship him to be sure, but also go with God to the marketplace on Monday and let the fruit of your labor, of your mind, and of your hands bring ultimate honor and glory to the God who made you and endowed you with your talents and abilities. To God be the glory for this word this evening. I pray that this message this evening is a blessing to you as it is to me, the price of success. And if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior and you want to do so, now is the time. And all you have to do is to repeat this prayer of salvation after me. Amen. Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and to do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. And all you have to do is to ask the Holy Spirit to guide you to a good Bible teaching church. Amen. Praise be to God. Come on. Amen. Stop that. Amen. Praise be to God. And my benediction for this evening is coming from Jude 24 and 25. Where it says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And let us all say, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to another episode of Pray One for Another. May God bless you and heaven smile upon you till we meet again tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. when I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. And following that, our very own psalmist, Barbara A. Amore, will be here with our poetry. And unfortunately, Pastor Kathy will not be with us tomorrow because she will be laying her son down to rest. Amen. So God bless you. Again, and may heaven smile upon you until we meet again. In Jesus' holy name, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Shalom, and good night, everyone. Happy Mother's Day to all who have a mother and to those who do not have a mother. Cherish her while she is still here with you. Amen. God bless. And good night. Amen. Praise be to God.
I am sorry that I have strayed from you. I ask forgiveness. I repent for my sin. I don't want to live like a prodigal son any longer, or a prodigal daughter. Renew, revive me. As I once again follow you, I thank you, Lord.
Thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 104.